The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com, I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Hi, welcome to Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. Today we have the author of what I believe to be his second book. It's titled Dear Evan Hansen, this novel by Val Immick. Val, welcome.
Great to be here. Hi.
All right, now, Dear Evan Hansen, that is a Broadway musical that a lot of people know about. It has won a lot of awards. Still hot on Broadway?
Yes, and all those things made me very nervous to take on the project.
Well, how did you come about the project?
So before I ever started writing fiction, I was, and still am, a singer-songwriter and an actor, and those things made my agents believe that I'd be great to star in a musical, so they would always send me on auditions. So when I got a text message from my agent saying, would you be interested in Dear Evan Hansen, the musical? I said, we've been over this before. I'm not good enough to be in a musical. I've auditioned plenty of times. And he's like, no, I mean to write the novel for it. And I was like, what? Is that a thing? I searched Google. Google told me it's not a thing. It's never been done before, to my knowledge. We figured Annie might be an example of that happening, but from going from a musical to a book. So the fact that it was new terrain, the fact that it was wildly successful and beloved by fans, I was nervous that I might screw it up, and maybe it shouldn't be a project at all.
Well, I don't know. You know, with reading Dear Evan Hansen, I did do a little research, and I went to Wikipedia, and I looked up the musical, because I wanted to see how close this follows, and it follows very close.
Yeah, I think that me and my collaborators always say we hoped that you could see the musical or read the book first, or only do one of the two, and it wouldn't hurt your experience. It would only enrich, one would enrich the other. Where the book really varies, and it's not that it says something different than the musical, it just shows more, is mainly with the character of Connor Murphy, the boy who commits suicide. And in the musical, he is this mystery. He dies early on, and we only know him through the lies that Evan Hansen tells about him. The Connor we know is really Evan's imagination of Connor. In the book, we get to experience Evan's Connor, but also Connor's Connor. He tells us his story, dual narratives, and also you see the parallels between the two. They're both 17, they're both depressed, anxious kids, and they took two different paths.
You know, I think most kids at that age could have a little depression going on, and that is maybe one reason why you and the collaborators wanted to do Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes, I think the fact that the guys who created the musical, Benj and Justin and Steven, thought, you know, this is connecting with a lot of people who were just hearing the songs online but couldn't see the show, either because it's only playing in New York City or because it's too expensive. And they wanted to get it out to a wider audience for, you know, a cheaper price, and especially specifically to teens. So that was the motivation. And I'm happy to be a part of a message that is about, hey, you're not alone in your anxiety and your feelings of isolation and not being noticed. And also that it does get better. There is a tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think that kids, younger kids, who are going through things, it's like they haven't lived long and they don't know how to look forward at things, perhaps. And I could be totally wrong.
I have two young children, two girls, and I see that already. And I remember what it was like for me. There are times where it feels like this is it. It's always going to be this way. And I think the show and the novel attempt to just connect to those feelings and give a voice to them and say, hey, again, you're not alone.
Yeah.
We're mostly like this. Most of us are just doing the best we can, trying to figure it out, failing a lot, sometimes succeeding.
When you started writing Dear Evan Hansen, you probably went to the theater. They said, here, go to the theater a lot. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you read the screenplay. How did that whole process work?
Yes, I read it first. And that was really informative because just on the page, I thought, you know, this could work as a book. And then I saw the show and then I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can replicate this. It became even more powerful. You have these transformative performances by the actors. You have these brilliant moving songs and you have lights. And I was like, how am I going to compete with that? All you have is words on a page. But I remembered that when I first read it, I thought it could work. And I also thought, I can tell this story. I feel these feelings. I've experienced some of this and I want to be a part of it. So I did, I saw the show a few times and then there was a point where I was like, you know what? This is becoming, it's not helping me anymore because I can't do this. I have to do my own thing.
So did you worry about watching the shows and then putting that in your own words and how much you might be taking from Dear Evan Hansen was another book, I think, which the show was based
on. The playbook was published, and because that's how popular it was, people wanted to just read it.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
So that was a trial and error between me and the guys, just saying when we should stick really closely to the play, word for word, in some cases, and when it should be something different. Because we wanted to, you know, when it worked, we wanted it to work. Sometimes it didn't work the same way it was on the page. But the parts where it really varies are the new parts, the backstories of characters, the stuff with Connor, how relationships, you know, when you're in a play, because it's a 2-hour experience or something with limited locations, like everything happens in Evan Hansen's bedroom, for example. Well, here they go out into the world. They visit a coffee shop. They go on a car ride, you know.
Yeah, so that's going to be the fun part of that. After reading Dear Evan Hansen, it's like, wow. I know it's coming to the city that we're in right now. It's coming, you know, probably a few months from now. And it's like, wow, after reading this, that sounds like a great play. I didn't really know what to expect. So let's kind of introduce everybody to the cast, if you will, of this book. Evan Hansen, he starts out, he's kind of a, like you say, maybe a depressed kid. He's kind of backward, I guess. He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't know really how to communicate with people, I guess.
That's right. He also has recently started therapy. He's on medication. He's got a single mother. He's kind of spinning his wheels. He's starting his first day of senior year, and he's writing these letters to himself, just these pep talk at the advice of his therapist. Today's going to be great, positive thinking, and immediately on the first day, that goes awry. One of these letters gets out, and it's not an amazing day like he hoped it would be. There's also Connor Murphy, who ends his life very, very early on in the story. And there's also the Murphy family. There's his sister Zoe, who's a year younger, a junior, and she's got her own dealing with the tragedy in her own way. And she also starts a relationship with Evan. And then there are the Murphys, the mom and dad. And Evan's mom. So this story, as much as it's about teens, it's also about the parents. And I really relate to it as a parent who are doing the best to raise these kids, but are making mistakes and sometimes, you know, doing well and just trying to pick up the pieces after a tragedy.
There's a lot going on in the musical and there's a lot going on in the book, several stories, backstories, if you will. What was the challenge with it?
It was all challenging. Writing is challenging. I think just knowing when to take it in a new direction and when to honor it. Like I said, I didn't want to, it wasn't broken. So I didn't, you know, I wanted to keep what was working and only add stuff that was complementing and enriching. And sometimes I made mistakes where I took it way too far. You know, I think one of the most challenging things now that I'm thinking of it is finding out who the real Connor was. That was something I had to discover along with the guys. They had ideas about who he was, but I had to find his voice. We don't get to hear from him in the musical, and I had to find out how he speaks and thinks, what his outlook is, what his journey was. And when you're dealing with suicide, you want to get that right, because it's not something to be taken lightly, obviously. Yeah, so I hope I did an adequate job in that regard.
So, you know, you've got a musical out here, Dear Evan Hansen, the book by the same title. You've seen the musical, you've read the play. Do you get writer's block from doing something like this, or does it flow pretty good for you? Because I know you've had another book, which you've probably had that before.
Yes, my first novel was called The Reminders, and I definitely had moments of, I can't get around this part. This book was a little different in that I had a source material, and I could always look at that when I got stuck. But you still have moments where you're like, I just don't know if I can get this out. I don't know if I could do this part. I don't know if I could find this emotional truth. I got to be honest, I had some late nights where I was just like, I don't know if I can get through this. But you find a way, you know.
Well, how do you do that with a couple daughters?
That was challenging. I'm a morning person. I like to write in the morning, but that's not always possible when you're dealing with getting kids off to school and stuff. Also, because this was a very quick turnaround and it was a quick deadline, I sometimes had to work late at night. I was getting a little crazy on the phone with my editor being like, I don't know, is this right? Am I doing the right thing? But I think some of that helped the story, honestly. I think the feeling of feeling vulnerable and fragile and anxious all found its way into the characters of Evan and Connor.
You know, not only are you an author, book number two, an actor.
I'm also a magician.
Are you?
No. I wish.
Well, you know, when you appeared here today, I thought, wow, that was amazing. But talk to me about some of your acting gigs. I mean, Ugly Betty, one of my wife's favorite shows. You've been on that. 30 Rock. You've got a long list, I think, of...
Yeah, roles and stuff. I've been in a lot of commercials. And yeah, it's... I lead a hybrid life. I'm not one thing, which is nice and exciting sometimes. And it also feels like sometimes destabilizing. Like I don't know what I'm going to do next, you know? I guess I'm at heart a storyteller, and that, you know, I'm writing songs, I'm telling stories in songs, I'm telling stories when I'm acting in a role. And of course, when I'm writing a book, that's what I like. Just the feeling that I'm finding some human story and connecting with other humans, like it makes living a little easier. I think Kurt Vonnegut, I'm paraphrasing something he said. He said, a career in the arts, it's not a way to make money. It's a way to tolerate life or something like that. And I really relate to that.
Well, you know, I think I read someplace where you think Kurt is a very funny subject, I guess. Am I correct on that?
I love his writing. I think I find him to be, or he was, just really, there was a tragedy to his viewpoint, like a tragic viewpoint, but always with humor mixed in. He saw the absurdity of things. I really relate to that kind of viewpoint, where you could, it's sometimes things are so sad and doomful that you can only just throw your hands up and be like, what a crazy world, and laugh. But yeah, back to your question about acting, I like to think that all these experiences I have bleed into one and help me become a better storyteller.
So if somebody asks you, how can you get into television, movies, acting, would you tell them that maybe just stay being a waitress or a waiter or what?
This is a really hard question. All I can tell you is my path, and it was I had parents who, when I told them what my major was going to be, didn't say, well, what are you going to do with that? They just said, oh, okay. And like, they looked the other way and let me make my own mistakes. So that's, I want to credit them. But also, I remember I got this letter in college. I didn't know what my major was going to be. And it said, do you want to learn to write well? And I thought, yes. Do you want to learn to speak articulately? Yes. Do you want to learn stuff in all different subjects? And I was like, yeah. They're like, well, maybe the major of American Studies is for you. And I was like, American Studies? Tom Wolfe was I think his PhD was in American Studies. But Basically, my major was I learned all different things. I was at literature, history, politics, and yet I had no idea if I could find a job with that. I guess my point is, if you follow your passion and do what you're interested in, hopefully it leads to something fruitful. I don't know any other advice to give than that.
Well, I've had some authors in here before that have won gold medals or they've done this or that, and they say visualization. Now, with you, did you always want to be an actor, a singer, songwriter? How did that work, and did you visualize it, or did you do goals, or none of the above?
Yeah, I never thought of it like that, but yes, earliest dreams were to be an athlete, and I quickly realized that was impossible. But I think I would pretend I play air guitar in my room as a little kid. And after college, I got a record deal and I was living out my dreams. So I did fulfill the vision, I guess. So yeah, there is power in that, really seeing where you want to end up.
Yeah, I think if you believe it, it's going to happen. Or if you're always thinking about it, there's been things that I've done before. And it's like here's a stupid example. Watching Jeopardy and thinking, well, I'd love to see somebody who was on Jeopardy. And here this guy, no, he's like a Jeopardy champion. And it's like, you know, you think hard enough, you're going to succeed, I think.
Yeah, I like to believe that that's true.
Well, let's talk, you know, we've been talking about Dear Evan Hansen. Let's talk about your other book, your first book, maybe the challenges with a very first book. Did you know exactly what you wanted to do with that and where you wanted to go? How did that all come about?
So that was my third attempt at a novel. I failed twice. No one wanted to read it. My wife barely wanted to read it. But I think I just caught the bug. I was like, I really want to write a novel that, I don't know, someone would want to publish and people would want to read. And the secret of that was one day I was a new father. My first daughter was less than 2 years old, and I took her to Home Depot on a shopping errand. My acting career was very slow, and I was basically a stay-at-home dad for a couple months. Took her to Home Depot, forgot to strap her into the shopping cart, and she fell out and hit her head on that concrete floor. She wasn't moving. I panic set in. She ended up being okay after a rush to get some medical help. Something about that experience like shook me awake, and I started writing this short story from the perspective of a little girl. I would never have thought to do this, but like I turned this panicked moment into a way to kind of get in my daughter's head. She was an older version of my daughter, and I let my wife read it, and she's like, "This is the best thing you've ever written." And I was like, maybe it could be a novel. Short story is, after 10 years of trying to write novels, that was the one that broke and was published. It was called The Reminders.
Now, it didn't take you 10 years to write that.
No, but it took me 10 years from the moment I started writing a novel. That took about 3 years. By writing and failing, I became better at determining when something was magical, like, oh yeah, I should. And you could tell in the eyes of people whether they're being nice, like, oh yeah, that was nice, or like, oh yeah, I loved that, you know. I sensed that in the people around me, I sensed that in an agent I sent to, and he's like, I'd like to represent you, and we can work on this. And then we worked on it for a year.
Your other novels, did you know ahead of time that that's not very good, so you didn't send it out, or did you send that out?
I sent the second one out, and I sent it out to a couple agents, and the one agent, they all rejected me, but one agent said, keep me in mind for future projects. I think you've got something. It's just not this book. And now he's my agent. I sent him the third book, and he's like, well, now this is it.
Now, some authors keep their rejection letters. Did you like just wad it up and throw it away and set the trash can on fire? Do you still have it?
Well, now it's all digital. So, yeah, it's all saved in my inbox.
Well, that's always good to look back on, say, hey, look at this. You know, you missed out, I guess.
I think it's fuel. It's motivation. Hey, you didn't see what was special about me. I'm going to prove you're wrong. Everyone has that kind of stuff in their memory.
With Dear Evan Hansen, did you have something... Well, of course, it was written out, but maybe the world of Evan. And the places that you wanted to go. Did you write that out like a big city?
No, I...
It was all in your head, perhaps? You knew where you were going with it?
Yeah, things happen pretty organically in that way. I sort of feel it out on the page. I'm writing it, and then it's just like, and now they get in a car, and then I did some outlining in this, and I pitched to the creative team. This is an unorthodox project in that writing a novel is usually a solitary act. And although it was me always at the computer writing, I would always send it out to the three guys and our editor for feedback. And there were times where, they were like, expand the world more. And then there were times where like, okay, now bring it back. So again, it was trial and error, but it was fun to get to flesh out his world.
Did you take on the persona of Evan when you went to the grocery store, when you were interacting with people? Were you Evan? Were you Connor? Were you Zoe? You know, other people in the book?
The answer is yes. I probably always was. The first monologue in the show was Evan talking about how he's too nervous to talk to Zoe, the person he pines for. And he's like, my hands are sweaty. And when I think about them getting sweaty, they get even more sweaty and I can't stop it. And I looked at my own hands when I was reading that and I was like, my hands are sweaty. I'm a sweaty hand guy too. I'm a nervous, anxious person. So I immediately felt like an Evan. But in writing the book, I think there really was, like, you know, you've heard of method acting, some method writing going on where I felt like I was going down like the rabbit hole of Evan and Connor to a point where I was emotional and in a way that alarmed my family. I think the world of the novel was just overtaking me at times. I hope that leads to a moving piece of art.
Well, you know, like Connor with doing drugs before school and stuff like that, hopefully that wasn't in there, but or beating people up, I guess, because he was not the nicest person, unfortunately.
Yes. No, I didn't do that stuff, but I have things in my life that I regretted. I acted with, you know, a short temper, or I did some foolish thing as a teenager that could have killed me. But part of the goal of the novel was to show that it's not that Connor is a bad guy. It's that he often, his reactions, they snowball and they make his life harder. He doesn't really know how to negotiate the world. And it becomes something where people start to expect that of him, and it makes his life even harder. Part of what we wanted to show was also that he did have a couple moments of happiness in his life that maybe his own family didn't know about. And there's this thing in the show and in the book, like this story about how he threw a printer at a second grade teacher. And in the book, we show, well, it's not exactly how it happened, but these myths start to follow you around, especially for teenagers. So we try to get to the nuance of it instead of just like the assumptions people make about us.
I know we're running out of time, but what is the secret of songwriting in about a minute?
Well, I will say this, the answer for me is different than the songwriters of the musical, because I've talked to them about this. For them, they're really trying to write a song that serves a purpose in the story. For me, it's more of whatever I'm feeling, expunging a demon, or like, you know, I'm frustrated and I just pick up the guitar and something comes out of me. It's a little more mystical. I've heard Dylan and Tom Petty talk about it just kind of sent through me. You know, I really feel that way. I'm not a real mystical, spiritual person. But when it comes to songs, I do believe that, I don't know, the stuff comes from somewhere beyond me.
So what's next for Val Emick?
I'm working on another novel. It's early going, so I can't say anything about it because it might not be anything. But I'll definitely be writing more stuff. I'm about to release some new music. Yeah, I'll continue to be a hybrid person.
Any upcoming TV shows or anything?
Not at the moment.
Okay. So if I wanted to find out about Dear Evan Hansen, the book, and maybe even the musical, I don't know, your novel, your other novel, plus anything in the future, do you have a website?
Yes, valemich.com, V-A-L-E-M-M-I-C-H. Find everything you want about me there. Say hello.
All right. Well, you know, after reading Dear Evan Hansen, I just can't wait to get to one of those off-Broadway shows, because I know I'm not going to make it to New York to see the show. What a page-turner this book is. You're going to fall in love and feel sorry for us, you know, these characters in here. It's kind of a mixed bag, I guess. So, Dear Evan Hansen, check it out at your local bookstore. Val, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with the author of his brand new book, Dear Evan Hansen, Val Immig.
To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.